Have you ever heard of a pluary? Well, how about an aprium? These are varieties of fruit that you'll rarely find in the supermarket, but you might well find them at the summer farmers markets run by Utah Farm Bureau. Kent Pine grows these unusual varieties at his orchards in southern Utah County.
I have about 30 to 35 different apple varieties that I grow. And then we grow peaches, nectarines, pluots. I've got some grapes, a handful of pears, apriums, all sorts of other weird stuff that most people haven't heard of.
One of the Farm Bureau's farmers markets is in Murray at Murray City Park. It begins Friday, July 25th. The other is in South Jordan at the South Jordan City Hall on 1600 West. It opens on Saturday, August 2nd. Adelaide Corey Dish is in charge of both.
People are interested in where their food is coming from. They're interested in understanding the seasons and how it's grown. And they just, yeah, they think it's fun.
Welcome to Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow, the podcast from Utah Farm Bureau. I'm Dan Bomas. Farmers markets are a showcase for the best produce grown in Utah. Everything from tree fruit to tomatoes to squash and other vegetables, and even flowers. Local farmers have been working with Farm Bureau for more than 40 years, bringing the best they grow to families in their communities, and reaching out in new ways to help people who might otherwise have a hard time bringing fresh food to their families to share in that abundance. Adelaide Corey Dish came to Utah from Florida. She's been the farmers market coordinator for Utah Farm Bureau for the past 2 years. She says there are regular vendors who've been coming for years, but customers can also expect to see something new.
So we always have one or two new or young farmers that start each year. And we do have this year, we have somebody starting microgreens. That's a new trend that I've been seeing a lot more lately in the markets. And so they actually are, their name is Elevated Greens, and they're actually able to do microgreens from a really small space. And they just started, and it's really popular. So they all they had was their space, a small setup, their name, and they were able to come and start selling at the farmers market, and now they're back for their second year this year.
You've also had farmers who have been doing this, farmers markets, as long as you've been doing it, the Farm Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
Those folks, who are they, and how do they stay involved?
Yeah, we have some farmers like Robert's Family Farm is a farm that's been involved a long time. The Chavez Farm, Gira Farm, Taggies, those are all family farms. Some are century farms.
What will you see in the farmer's market that you will never see in the supermarket?
That's a good question. Probably just there are different varietals of fruit, especially like apples, that just don't do well with shipping, and folks don't try to sell them, or there's no market. So you will see varieties of apples, heirloom varieties that people have been growing that you will never find. You'll see different interesting varieties of like nectarines and pluots. One thing that's very popular at the Murray Park Farmers Market is yellow string beans. And so I haven't seen those much at the grocery store, but they sell out every time people have them.
Well, and the varieties that you might see, say, of tomatoes are ones that don't ship store as well as the ones that you see in the supermarket.
Exactly. So you can get things that are just from 5, 10, 20 miles away that folks are able to sell, and it's feasible because they don't have to go those long distances. And they're riper, too, because they just can. Oftentimes, producers will pick the day of the market or the day before, so they'll get up and pick at like 3 or 4 a.m. and then drive to the markets and sell produce fresh that day.
Is it likely when you go to a farmer's market that the person you're talking with at the stand is the one who picked the tomatoes or whatever?
Yes, many times it is. And that's the really interesting thing about farmers markets is oftentimes that might be the only touch point that someone in a city or suburb has with their with agriculture. And so they do get to meet the farmers and they get develop that relationship. And then they come back each year. And I think that might be why we do have producers that, that have been returning for year after year, is because they've developed those relationships and it's meaningful. Markets, farmers markets across the nation are growing. There's more farmers markets year over year in America than there has been in the past 10 years. So I think there is a market, customers, consumers, they want to go to farmers markets these days. And so I've just seen the interest grow. People are interested in where their food is coming from. They're interested in understanding the seasons and how it's grown. And they just, yeah, they think it's fun.
Well, people are used to buying, say, tomatoes in a market that are so hard you could play racquetball with them. I was driving down Interstate 5 in California one day, and there was a truck full of tomatoes in front of me, and one fell out, and it bounced on the road.
Right.
Tomatoes should not bounce.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, so people, yeah, it tastes better. I mean, you know, Matt talks about here at the Farm Bureau that, like, peaches and other tree fruits are actually sweeter from Utah because we have hot days and cold nights, so it actually, like, increases the sugar content, which is so interesting to me. So, yeah, the food, I think people, they try it, and then they realize, wow, it tastes better. And what ends up happening is folks, they eat more fresh produce.
What do the farmers markets do for the communities where you hold them?
We do so much for the community. So across the United States, farmers markets are responsible for $2.4 billion in sales that go to farmers and producers. In our community, the for example, our Murray Park Farmers Market, we have about, on average, 500 to 1,000 people per market day, and they typically spend somewhere between $25 and $50. So just for our one of our markets, that's could be as much as $1.5 million that goes back to the community. Not only that, but farmers and food producers keep jobs in the community, and the dollars that people spend on those items from a farmer go directly towards staying in our community instead of those dollars stay and they don't go into a different state or a different economy. They stay here in Utah.
If you want a couple of zucchinis for dinner today, or if you want a flat of tomatoes to make salsa, either is good.
Yeah, we have a variety of shoppers and both work. You know, it's tempting because you can buy a flat or a couple cases of tomatoes or raspberries, and you can put those away. You know, in Utah, we have a strong tradition of canning, and although that's has sort of gone down in the past, I think there's a resurgence. So we actually, at the end of each year, we offer a canning demonstration at our market because people are interested, and it's a really good way to save money if you're a price-conscious shopper, is to buy in bulk and can.
If I don't really know what to do with an heirloom tomato or a yellow string bean or something like that, is there a way I can learn how to prepare those and make it for my family?
Yeah, you know, we at our farmers market info booth oftentimes will have recipe cards. Farmers usually, or the folks that are working at their stands, are very knowledgeable and love to give suggestions. And also, USU has something called Create Better Health, and they have a whole host of recipes and resources online that folks can access.
So you can learn how to deal with unusual varieties that way.
Exactly.
What's been your best experience with something you've taken home from a farmer's market and given to your family?
I think it's so fun when kids can just have as much fruit as they want. I think it's hilarious when they just go crazy and have like this abundance. And so I've gotten flats, we have a couple different berry producers, Weeks Family Farms, Weeks Berries from Paradise, actually. And so they have these different types of raspberries. One is a variety that's a cross between yellow raspberries and red raspberries, and so they're pink. And I once got a whole flat thinking, I'm gonna make jam, and my children ate the entire thing. Just handfuls. That was their dinner that night. And it was just fun. I was just like, sure, go for it.
Is it fun to take kids to the market and see what they see?
Yeah, it's so fun to take kids to the market. And, you know, kids are so curious, and they also learn a lot.
How do you reach out to folks who might be, for example, purchasing food with SNAP benefits?
That's a great question, and we're really lucky that we have a program that addresses that need. So we are able to accept SNAP at our info booths, and then those folks are able to take their SNAP benefits and go out and buy from all the farmers at the market. Not only that, but the state has a incentive program. So when you take money off of your SNAP card at a farmer's market anywhere in Utah that's participating, you actually get extra money, which is in the form of coins that you can use, that's for just fresh produce. So you have a little bit more money, and it makes your dollar go farther. So if you're someone who uses SNAP, you can even buy more than you otherwise would be able to at the grocery store.
So you have then a situation where you have families who may not have included much fresh produce in their diets in the past, and you also have people who've done it a lot, maybe traditionally in the country that they're from or something, but haven't been able to for a long time. So how do you serve those folks?
We are so lucky to have a variety of people who shop at our Murray and South Jordan farmers markets. And we work hard to make sure that it's accessible. So we encourage producers to display prices, and so that people can read it if there's a language barrier. And we always make sure we're participating in the SNAP and what it's called Double Up Food Bucks programs, so that people who have less food access or who are on those programs can access food from local farms. In addition to that, there's another program for seniors who don't have who are food insecure, and so there's a couple different ways that we address those.
Does all the produce make it home, or do some of those peaches get gobbled up along the way?
You know, there's always a little bit of produce left over that sometimes we get to eat some of it. You know, that's the benefit of running a farmer's market. But then sometimes producers don't really want to repack it. It's, you know, they're done for the day. And so we partner with a nonprofit called Wasteless Solutions, and they have volunteers that come at the end of the market day, and producers who are generous and donate their leftover produce to this nonprofit, and then they in turn distribute it for us to senior centers or other organizations who could use it.
It seems like there are few places where everything that happens is good news. Is a farmer's market like that?
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say if you'd like, there's what they call third spaces where people can go, and you know, you're not obligated to buy things. In fact, a lot of people love to go to the farmer's market just to stroll around, and it's fun.
Adelaide Corey Dish is the farmer's market coordinator for Utah Farm Bureau. And you're listening to Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow. We'll be right back in just a moment with a look at some of the items you can buy at Utah farmers markets that you probably won't find in the grocery store.
We're excited to announce that Farm Bureau's member benefits platform is getting an upgrade. This move will provide Farm Bureau members with an even better experience and access to a wider range of exclusive local, national, and international discounts and perks. Think of it as everything you love from our old platform, plus so much more. After downloading the Benefit Hub app from your App Store, you'll be able to log in with the same email address and password from the old Abenity discount program. You can also access these benefits online at utahfarmbureau.org/member-benefits. Whether you're planning a trip, shopping, dining out, or enjoying local attractions, your benefits are just a tap away. Download the Benefit Hub app today and start saving instantly. Utah Farm Bureau and Benefit Hub, your gateway to exclusive membership perks.
This is Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow, the Utah Farm Bureau podcast. Kent Pine lives in Payson, and his family has been in the orchard business for generations. But it's only in recent years that he's been able to bring such a wide variety of fruit to farmers' markets around the state, as well as the Farm Bureau markets in South Jordan and Murray.
We grow tart cherries is our biggest crop. And behind that, we grow apples, several different apple varieties. I have about 30 to 35 different apple varieties that I grow. And then we grow peaches, nectarines, pluots. I've got some grapes, a handful of pears, apriums, all sorts of other weird stuff that most people haven't heard of, like pluaries and picotums and things like that. So
okay, you're going to have
a lot of tree fruit.
You're going to have to define some of those. Pluots I've heard of, certainly, but how about the others?
So a pluary, I've only been growing those for the last, 3 years, but they've been really popular. People really like them. It's a cross between a sweet cherry and a plum. And so it's its own distinct fruit. I think there's like four, maybe five different varieties of pluaries. And this spring I just planted my second variety that should come on earlier than the existing variety that I have. But there's a lot of different kinds of fruit out there, and just selective breeding that that man will do to come up with its own new variety of fruit or its own new type of fruit. But aprium is kind of like the reverse of a pluot. A pluot is 3/4 plum, 1/4 apricot, and an aprium is more apricot than plum, so it's 3/4 apricot, 1/4 plum. And then picotum, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's 1/3 peach, 1/3 apricot, and 1/3 plum. They're pretty good. I mean, it's not like a really big fruit. It's about as big as like an apricot, but it's more apricot and plum. But yeah, you can go down a big rabbit hole of fruit and really get into some weird stuff. But I've tried to throw some of that in this new orchard that I've planted, just to have something new and different at the farmer's market.
Well, the farmer's market is where you can sell that, because people come there looking for ideas as much as they are for specific kinds of fruit. It's not something you're going to see in a supermarket.
Yeah. So, obviously cherries, that's like a commodity fruit. It's widely grown. Everyone knows what it is. Same thing with apples and peaches. But some of these other varieties of fruit that I've planted there, no one really knows what they are. Even certain varieties of nectarines, for example, I picked about a week ago, I picked some donut nectarines. So I don't know if you've ever seen like the donut or the saucer shaped peaches. People call them flat, squatty, UFO, donut. I don't know why. I just decided to go with donut, probably because, I like donut. I don't know. But, so squatty nectarines. So, there's all sorts of weird traits of these varieties, and that just happens to manifest itself with that variety by being flat.
How many varieties of apples?
I've got like 35, I think. But I'd say about five of those are just, you know, I planted a tree to kind of try it out just to see if it's something that I wanted to, you know, plant a lot more of. And some of them I've decided one reason or another not to plant more of them because maybe they're too biannual or maybe it's just too basic of an apple or maybe it doesn't ripen up when I want it to. So I try to stagger it so that I don't have all my apples coming ripe the same week because then I'd be in big trouble.
Well, when you show up at the farmer's market, what can we expect to see there?
So, I mean, this time of the year, early in the markets, depending on which market you go to, they usually start early summer, like early June. And there's not usually a lot of fruit that's ready or vegetables early June. Some people dry it or some people do greenhouse and things like that. So you can get some, but I typically just sell apple cider in June. And then we start getting fruit that ripens up the end of June, early July. And that's when I start picking pluots, some varieties of peaches, and then, you know, some nectarines. And then usually right around middle of August, I'll start picking apples. And that's really what I'm more known for is the apples, just because I've been bringing them to the market for like the last, I don't know, 15, 16 years. And so, you know, I guess I have the moniker of the apple guy or the apple man. So, you know, me bringing peaches and pluots is kind of a new thing for people to see. But almost every week when I come to the market, I'll have a new variety of apple and some of the varieties are apples that you're familiar with, like the Fuji or a Honeycrisp, things like that. But oftentimes there'll be varieties you've never heard of, you probably will never hear of unless you come to the market, but they're fantastic apples nonetheless.
When people buy an apple from you, how long has it been off the tree?
Sometimes I'll have picked it right before the market, and sometimes, especially during the winter, because I'll sell apples all the way into early spring. So for example, I was selling apples middle of April, end of April. And that's kind of typical because I have a cold storage facility where I keep it at 32 degrees and certain varieties will keep really well. So sometimes you'll get a tree or an apple that's been off the tree for just a few hours. And sometimes it'll have been in cold storage for 4 months, 5 months. Sometimes they hold up really well, and sometimes they don't hold up quite as well. It just depends on the variety. But we do our best to bring the best quality we can to the farmer's market.
What's your favorite, and what kind do you sell the most of?
Oh, geez. I think I sell more Fuji than I sell anything else. And that's probably also because I grow more Fuji than any other variety. But, my favorite variety. I guess you could say right now it's called Ludicrisp, which is kind of a silly name. It's an apple that was developed by the Midwest Apple Improvement Association, which is basically a group of growers that got together. And they've done some really good breeding. And Ludicrisp is an apple that comes ripe middle to the end of October, but it's got a really fantastic flavor. It's not a boring red delicious. You'll take a bite, and when I give it to people and they take a bite, they love it. It's got a lot of flavor. It's sweet, it's tart, it's crunchy, it's juicy, it looks good, it keeps well. So it comes ripe kind of at the height of apple season. So it's got a lot of good things going for it, and it's got a cool name too. So
like the rapper?
Yeah, really. I wonder if there's ever been any kind of a lawsuit. I guess not, because it's Ludicrisp with a P.
Ah, okay.
And so they probably, you know, they've avoided any kind of a lawsuit so far as I know.
When somebody comes to your booth at the farmer's market, do you want to chat with them or just want to unload the apples as fast as you can?
Well, both. I usually bring some good helpers. You know, I have my boys that have come to help me sell, and I've got some other friends and workers that have worked with me off and on through the years. And I really enjoy talking to people at the farmer's market. I really like to let people try something that they haven't tried before. So that's kind of my thing, is when I see a customer that I'm familiar with, and I have something that they haven't had yet, I always go out of my way to make sure that they get to sample it and try it out. So, it's fun to see people's reaction when they bite into something. It's one of the things I look forward to. You can go to a farmer's market nowadays and you can get so many things. You can get everything you need for a meal. And it's all local. It's made with high quality ingredients. Oftentimes it's super fresh. So, I mean, you can't go wrong.
What's your favorite story about the markets that you've been to over the years?
I really enjoy when a customer starts talking to me and saying, like, for example, there was one time a customer said, I used to get the best apples from this old man who sold out in front of his house on the corner of Main Street in Orem. And I would say, well, that's my grandpa. You know, he's passed away, but same apple, same farm, just a different location. So that's always, I've heard that more than, more times than just once, but that's kind of fun to hear that. Oh yeah, that's great. You know, I haven't, that they don't have them there anymore, and I haven't been able to get them for a number of years. So it's kind of like making that connection new again. So that's kind of fun. And then, it's been also fun because I've been bringing my kids to the farmer's market to teach them how to work and give them an opportunity to make money and learn how to manage money. Also, it's really good because, it helps me out, obviously. But it's been great to see them grow up over the years and then have customers who have been consistently coming over the years. They see my kids and they're like, holy cow, they have grown up so much. And so it's kind of like this relationship between, my family and the customers, where they get to see my kids, slowly turn into, adults. And, I have my oldest son, who's 18, almost 19. He's been running his own farmer's market booth at the Provo Farmer's Market ever since he could, before he could even drive, when he was 15. But it's been fun to have my family come work alongside me, and it's one of the reasons I enjoy farming is because I get to involve my family.
Kent Pine's family has been growing apples and other kinds of tree fruit in Utah County for generations. They're regulars at the markets run by Utah Farm Bureau.
Some may not be aware that the Utah Farm Bureau has a charitable foundation, the Miracle of Agriculture Foundation. It has been serving Utah families in need since 2020, with the goal of assisting those in need by providing assistance and relief during disasters and temporary hardships, as well as helping to connect Utahns to agriculture. One way the foundation has done this has been through receiving livestock donations and distributing meat to community food pantries throughout Utah. To help pay for these donations, the foundation has a golf tournament on August 18th. With proceeds going to pay for processing costs. To play in the tournament or to sponsor, visit utahfarmbureau.org and click on the Events tab for more details.
Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow is the podcast service of the Utah Farm Bureau Federation. Our mission is to inspire all Utah families to connect, succeed, and grow through the miracle of agriculture. And you can learn more at our website, utahfarmbureau.org. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.